And it doesn't usually get or stay this cold like it's been lately.
Oh no, I'm so sorry. Well, you have to come visit me when the pandemic is over.
Yeah, where are you
Yeah,
located?
I'm in California.
Oh yeah. Yeah, I'm actually from
Yeah.
San Diego, so it kind of ruined me for living anywhere else.
Really, San Diego is like always 72 degrees.
Yeah,
It's the
right.
perfect place. How did
Yeah.
you get from San Diego to Arkansas?
Oh, well, I moved around a lot
Western
because
love.
my husband's job, so I haven't actually lived in San Diego since 1982.
Oh, yeah,
Yeah.
I was there then though.
Oh, yeah?
That's fort yeah, oh my gosh.
Are you from there?
No, I just actually during my I changed colleges a couple times and went down there for a year, and it was
Oh.
the best place I ever lived for sure.
Yeah, it's nice. Which college do you go to down there?
I mean, I came from Ohio and I was mad at my dad. If you've had the book, you'll see I used my boobs to get out of going Ivy. And then came to California. So I started UCLA and I ended up at SC Film School. But in between, I took a quarter off and then and moved to San Diego with a boyfriend, and then ended up going to San Diego State for, I guess, maybe a year, not quite a year, probably, and lived on the beach, and it was fabulous. And then
Oh,
I
that's
went
nice.
back up to LA for film school.
Yeah.
But
My
oh my gosh.
husband went to state briefly, and he ended up going to UCSD and graduated from there. So,
There's some great schools down there. I mean, and they and San Diego State, actually, they have one of the big women kind of in film study things that was after me, but I definitely took some great classes there. I mean, it's known as a party school, but they had a great telecommunications. And although this one TV teacher I remember said, he said, "You're never going to make it, blah blah blah." And so that was the day I applied to film school, went back to LA. It's like, yeah,
Oh.
he's this guy's a loser. I'm out,
Oh
But living on the beach was so good.
no. Yeah.
Anyway.
Well, did you have a house on the beach or did you just sleep
No,
on
okay. I shared an
the
apartment with
beach?
three other girls
Oh,
on the
wow.
beach,
Nice.
and actually, there's a story in the book because one of them had really, actually, one had, actually, two had really big boobs. One had really big boobs, and then got a reduction, and then the other two and I, it was like on Mission Beach.
Right.
It was so nice. Now I've been down there because my daughter lived there a little bit, a little while ago, a couple years ago. She lived there for a year, and it's really been like now it's all bars and restaurants. And
Yeah.
in 82, certainly it was much more of a little beach
Yeah.
town,
Yeah, they built all, that whole area, all of the whole Southern California area has been built up so much over the last 20, 30 years. Yeah.
Yeah, it's kind of sad because you can't
Yeah.
get a new beach place. I mean, I remember Hooters was just being built when I left. Might have been there when you were there. Now it's this big, giant double-decker bar.
Oh,
It's like, yeah. So, I mean, talk about boobs, but anyway.
Actually, speaking of both boobs and warm weather, before we moved
Yes.
here, we lived in Honolulu for 3 years.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, and it was very
Wow.
expensive, but they paid my husband well, fortunately. But
Yeah.
we used to go down to the Hooters because it was the only sports. We lived downtown near the Chinatown and all
Right.
that. It was the
Yeah.
only sports bar in the area, and if you wanted to watch like mainland sports, you had to go like really early in the morning.
Yeah,
So it
right,
was,
because of time change.
yeah. So they served breakfast and stuff, and it was
Do
funny.
girls with the low-cut tops serve breakfast, or do they have a different uniform then?
No, I think they served breakfast. Yeah, I think they were the same thing. And
Yeah.
it was funny because it was a lot of his students.
Oh, great.
Can't really
Oh my
leer
gosh.
at your students. Not that he's the leering type anyway,
Yeah.
but.
That's so funny. Did you just wear a bikini the whole time you were there?
No,
No.
I'm not a bikini type, no.
Yeah, I like
But
one pieces too.
yeah, it's funny, even though I grew up in San Diego and lived in Hawaii, I did not go in the ocean or the water that much. It's just kind of funny.
Well, those are probably the two places in the country that aren't totally shark infested, like Florida, that the water's warm. So if
Yeah.
you're not going to go in there, then you're just not going to go.
Right. Yeah, it was it, I love the ocean. I like the beach. I just I like having it there more than actually
I
going.
hear you.
I like
I you
sitting.
know I was a swimmer, and so and I live about a mile and a half from the beach now. And I go down and I always think, oh, I'm gonna go swimming. And I see people swimming, and I was a serious swimmer all my life, but I really don't want to be in the water as much as I really want to look at it. So I hear you. I'd like to walk and look at the ocean and look at the dolphins. And when you're in the water, you can't really see much, so
Yeah, and we used to like going down to Waikiki and sitting in a nice outdoor bar, having dinner and drinks, and
yes,
listening to the ocean, you know, that
exactly.
kind of thing.
So. My mom loves the Pink Hotel.
Oh yeah, it's pretty. Yeah,
that's yeah, where she wants to be, like her ashes scattered when she
oh,
dies.
Oh, that's nice.
You know, it's like, okay, Mom, that's fine. We'll do that. We can do that.
Yeah, if you
can
ever
we just go visit now.
If you ever get back there, there's a great restaurant called Top of Waikiki. It's got a revolving restaurant, and it looks right down on all of that. It's beautiful from up there.
Oh my gosh. Well, as soon as the pandemic's over, I'll put that on the top of my
yeah,
list.
Yeah, definitely, definitely. I mean, I'm not saying it's a great restaurant food-wise, but view-wise, it's okay
yeah.
food-wise. But
yeah, but they probably have good poo-poos. I mean, we went to the yeah. surfer, the place that was named after Duke's.
Uh-huh.
Remember, that yeah. was near the Pink Hotel.
Yeah.
But, oh man, now I really want to go on vacation.
I know what you mean. I wanted to go back there ever since we moved here.
Yeah, well, you know, you'd think he would want to go do that too, just
yeah.
to visit.
Yeah, no, he does. It's just finding that he's an administrator, so finding the time to go back there.
Yeah.
Especially now with the pandemic, of course, crazy. But
of course, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, we probably yeah, would have gone if not for the pandemic this year.
Yeah. We actually went to Florida last February and was like, we haven't done I had been working on the book and my husband also is a writer and we were so busy, we didn't go anywhere during the holidays at all. And so we went on a vacation kind of around Valentine's Day, but not actually on it, so expensive then. And so we were lucky to have been in Florida or Hawaii right before the, you know, now we've been home and it was like, thank God we at least went on a vacation.
Right, yeah.
So,
yeah, I'm afraid.
We were on the Big Island, I think.
Oh, that's nice. Yeah, I haven't been. I actually had, we never went to the other islands. It's kind of sad. But we were only there
oh,
3
nice.
Years, you know.
3 years is a lot, though.
You would think. I don't know. It's island time.
Not
it's
enough.
Different.
Oh, that's true. Yeah, that's true. We have there's a Thai restaurant. In fact, I was saying to my husband, can I, we need to do takeout to this Thai restaurant. And it's a little bit of a drive, but even with the pandemic, you go, you know, you pick up your boxes and they have a TV that, I don't know why, but it only plays a surf channel, and it's always, it's so relaxing. It's just, and it's like people surfing in Hawaii.
Yeah.
They have it on a loop.
Huh.
And it's so fun to watch.
That is cool.
Yeah.
Huh.
All right. So,
so okay. When did you decide to write this book and how long did it take you?
Oh my gosh. Well, first let me ask you,
yes.
have you read any of it? Did they send you a galley?
No, they did not send me anything, so...
Okay, do you want a galley? Because I'm making
yeah.
a list of galleys to send.
Yeah, I would love that.
Okay, why don't you give me your address right now while I'm thinking about it?
Okay.
You have time.
Okay, it is 5 Holly.
I'm sorry, 5 is the whole number?
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Okay.
Small town.
Holly? Okay.
H-O-L-L-Y, yeah.
Okay.
Magnolia? Arkansas.
Okay.
71753.
Okay.
And my last name is, if they didn't give it to you, is Lanoue. L-A-N.
Yeah, L-A-N.
O-U-E.
O-U-E?
Yes.
Got it. Okay. Yeah, sure. It'll go out next week then.
Oh, cool. Oh, can you autograph it for me?
Excuse me?
Can you autograph it?
Yeah. You know what? I'll send one from me then.
Oh, cool.
I have 2 left. So,
okay.
And then I'll sign it for you.
Cool.
But I just, you have to promise to understand that it's not a final draft.
Okay.
You know, because the final one has, like, been copy edited more.
Right.
And also, I wrote, like, 4 new pages.
All right.
At the end, because I actually timed the book to release in March, in International Women's Month, but mainly it was because then we didn't go to press until December, and so I got to write post-election stuff.
Oh, good.
Yeah, so because the whole thing, my boobs, the whole personal thing, it kind of funnels into this big conclusion at the end.
All right.
That's like inclusionary feminism and, you know, how important it is for boobs to get respect and for everyone to get equal respect and things like that. So it's like, so it's not the final thing, but it's,
okay.
You know, you'll definitely get all the humor and all the funny stories.
Right, right. Well, I'm not going to review it or anything, so I'll just read it for fun.
Okay. Okay. No, well, you feel free. Please review it, actually.
No, I mean,
If you hate it, don't. But if you you can go on Amazon and Goodreads and give me a bunch of stars. Right. Like that.
Okay. I'm not going to review it on my site because it's not.
Oh, I understand. Yeah. Yeah. Your TV site.
Not a professional review.
That's okay. It's like people just look at the stars.
Yeah, that's true.
So, in fact, I sent all these letters out to everybody I know who I thought would like help me and buy a book yesterday, and my person who gives me advice about marketing said, okay, now you need to send another letter next month and ask everybody to review it, but only if they like it. I go, okay, how many favors can I ask? It is a good book. So that's one thing. And so let me drink one and I'll tell you why I wrote it. Have you checked out my website?
Briefly, just
okay,
very
briefly. Because that will give you a lot of information.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, I got the gist of the book, you know, the idea of it, but...
There's a book page, and there's also, like, a press page that has a bunch of questions and stuff, but, I actually had no intention of ever writing a book about boobs, for sure, and until the moment I realized that I could track my whole life by how I felt about my boobs, and I wasn't the only one, you know? I mean, every morning, every woman gets up and has to do something with their boobs. So it's a pretty common experience. But I got out of the shower one night, and my boobs were crooked, and I was so mad. And we had just moved to this really cool place, and we were going to have a date night. We were still boxes and everywhere. And I was, a couple years out of breast cancer, which was horrific. I'd had my boobs redone a bunch of times. And they were still crooked, and I was so mad. Now, my husband accused me of being obsessed, and I thought, no way, I'm a girl, no way could I be obsessed with breasts, that's just wrong. And so he said, well, just calm down, and I wanted to call my plastic surgeon and, like, fix him, which kind of troubled me that I felt like that, because I always considered myself a feminist. And then he had taped the last week of David Letterman's, late show, and David Letterman had all these stars on. I mean, he was this famous guy, 38 years on TV, and he was known as the intellectual guy. Mm-hmm. So what does he do on, like, one of the most watched episodes of his entire TV career? He tells a boob joke. And so my husband and I looked at each other, and it was like, I am not the only one who's obsessed. This is totally not my fault. But it was really troubling, and I, like, date night was off, right? He went to sleep, and I started unpacking boxes, and I saw this picture. One of my favorite pictures I had, it was the first one I took out because it's this old picture. It's actually in the book. And it's of me and my sister and my mom. And I was three, and we're all wearing red bikinis. And for me and my sister, who was one, there were these tiny red strips of fabric. And I remember I always laugh when I look at the picture because my sister could not keep the fabric covered her nipple because she was, one or something. But I thought it was the funniest thing. And then I realized, oh my gosh, at 3 years old, I knew that nipples were taboo. And that said something about the culture. And I wanted to, so I kind of was like being a detective. First of all, I wanted to prove to my husband, A, that I wasn't obsessed, or B, that it was okay because everyone was obsessed. And then I wanted to know why. So I went through and I did a whole lot of research and then through my whole life. And I realized that I could connect all the dots of my life from when I was like a teenage girl, a little girl wanting breasts, teenage girl wanting bigger breasts to be, in a cheerleader. My dad had Playboy. Then in college, having breasts meant you were pretty. And then if you then went getting a job, you had to hide your breasts to look professional, and then having the babies and getting big breasts that were gorgeous for breastfeeding, and then having them so ugly and saggy that my mom called me deformed. And after I got a divorce, she wanted me to get a boob job. It was like because she thought I'd be lonely without breasts. And then eventually I got a boob job. And then a couple years later, completely unrelated. And I did feel more confident because that's how the culture was. I mean, it really did make me feel more like a woman. And then I got breast cancer. And it's like I did all this and still they weren't perfect. And I realized that, an equal number, 300,000 women a year get breast augmentation. It's the most popular elective surgery. Same amount of women get breast cancer every year. Wow. It's like breasts can feed our babies. They can kill us. And I could see my whole life that, you know, as according to my breasts. And then I found out, and I looked for other books that covered this. I mean, breasts literally turn blood into milk, and there is not a medical specialty. They're an organ. Hmm. By definition, there's no medical specialty about breasts. And there are books on breast cancer, books on breastfeeding. And of course, if you Google boobs, you'll find porn. Right. You know, if you Google breasts, you find cancer and chicken recipes. You know, it's like, seriously, I could not believe it. But there was no book that connected the dots. And then I realized that my life, because I was, you know, born right at the edge of 1960, and my life completely paralleled the moment when breasts became exponentially important for men and not for babies. And it had to do with this historical thing of, like, I mean, this is probably too much details for you, but women had to go back to the kitchen. There had been childcare during World War II, and then they closed them, Uncle Sam. And then suddenly the scientists were pushing baby formula, and so women weren't using them for breastfeeding. And then Playboy came out that same year, so advertising rose. TV suddenly was in everyone's homes. Those were the couple years where TV overnight was in everyone's homes. And men's eyes, I found the scientific research, look at a woman's chest within 200 milliseconds of her walking into the room. And so for advertising eyeballs, of course, they're going to have women with big breasts on TV. And so we were raised in this culture. And then the Society of Plastic Surgeons said small breasts were disease. Suddenly, women, you know, actresses had to be in Playboy. Victoria's Secret came up later, and you know, even beauty queens, everyone had to have big breasts. And so my life really paralleled this culture of breast obsession. And since America really sets the tone in media-wise for the rest of the world, we were influencing everyone. And I, my life at every stage had been influenced by the songs and the commercials and the news and the fashion and the censorship. And so, I mean, that night, I like, was this was this is my next book. I never intended to write a book about boobs, or never intended to write a memoir. I mean, I'm a novelist. I've written some screenplays, but it was this was just. And honestly, I wasn't sure after chemo that I would be able to write another book. My analytic side came back really easily. I was working with other writers. I taught and stuff, and I can be that side of my brain was great, but creatively, it just wasn't flowing for a long time. I was on meds for years, and suddenly this idea was just fully formed in my head, like I had to write this book. So I actually started it when we thought Hillary was going to be president, and so it kind of, you know, thought, oh, breasts are so important, and then that didn't happen. But then, and I pitched the book, and nobody wanted it. I mean, everyone was like, oh, breasts aren't important. Everyone, it was so insidious, I guess is the word. Like, we take breasts for granted that we don't realize how much they affect our whole lives and men's lives, too. You know, we all get into these roles, and especially now with the pandemic, where women are like, our breasts definitely are defining us. It's harder to work if we have children. You know, we need child care. We need, we're not taking care of ourselves because we're taking care of everyone else. We're getting sick. I mean, so it was just told this bigger story. So I actually started the book in 2016. And then and I wrote a query and I wrote a proposal and it didn't sell. And then finally I wrote the whole book and I got TV. I got interest from a producer actually pretty early on when somebody read the manuscript, but it still didn't rate. It still didn't sell this book. I mean, I had so many rejections. It's like now, it's like, I'm getting these rave reviews from Publishers Weekly, and Kirk is like the holy grail of the book industry. Is like, the problem was too, it's a memoir, but it has cultural analysis. I'm really talking about, I'm using my life, my personal emotional experience in relation to the wider lens of our nation with a lot of humor and a lot of research. And it shows like the power of biology is something we can't change, but also the way we react to it, that we can kind of change the culture. So it was this kind of unusual. It wasn't like strictly memoir, and I'm certainly not a celebrity, so who would buy it, right? So, and now those are the very things about the book that people are really praising. And it's just thrilling that I just, you know, I mean, I had so many moments of doubt. It's like, oh, maybe it's not a book, you know, but it's so, clearly a book, and now obviously it's going to be a TV show, and so I couldn't be more thrilled to get this message out for everyone to stop judging ourselves and each other and understand what the realities are about living in a woman's body and how it affects everybody.
So even though you'd already gotten books published, it didn't matter. They didn't want this.
Yeah.
That's weird.
They were like, oh, Leslie's such a great writer, but this is not for us. You know, and And I just hope all those people are watching now. Like, not in a mean way. Just
right,
about,
right.
You know, be more open-minded. And this is because, I mean, people are calling this a really important book, you know, and otherwise they were like, well, you know, but also publishers, there's really only 5 big publishing houses and there's lots of imprints and they have to sell sure things. And, you know, they need a sure thing. And this was kind of an unusual book. And boobs are like, ooh, you know, people. I mean, I even lost my first agent. She said she just wasn't a boob person. I thought, that's how important this book is, because you're in denial that boobs are really important.
Wow.
So, and she's smart. She actually had gotten an offer to go to a bigger agency and handle people like Kamala Harris. She repped her. So I'm like, okay, you're on to bigger people. But I got a new agent immediately who totally understood. And then it was just a challenge because people just, we take boobs for granted. And yet every morning we get up and we decide, are we wearing a bra? Are we wearing a sports bra? Are we showing them? Are we not? You know, are we wearing no bra? It's like, you know, are we eating our tails with them? Are we sick? So they are a big deal. And that's what I'm just thrilled about, that's a real thing now.
You know, I never really thought about any of this before. I guess I don't really think about my boobs that much.
Exactly. Nobody does. And honestly, I would not have. And all my friends from high school, I grew up in Ohio.
Mm-hmm.
They're all like, oh, Leslie, boobs. You know, it's like, yeah, well, yeah, didn't mean it. But, and there's serious stuff in this too, you know, but there's plenty of humor because boobs are funny. And
yeah,
that's why I didn't name it A Breast Life.
Right, like, right.
Breasts are serious, boobs are funny, and yet they're the same thing.
Yeah.
You know, and then Oprah Winfrey calls them the girls. You know, yeah. It's like, so we objectify our own bodies, you know. It's really interesting. So that's my point, is for people, regular, great women like you, who just don't think about boobs. We take them for granted. And so I'm just trying to say, hey, the way we think about boobs affects how we live. So.
Okay. Well, you said that somewhere I read you said that you wanted bigger boobs when you were younger. Was that because you just hadn't matured yet, or did you think you had ones that were too small?
Oh, both.
Both?
Yeah, we watched Miss America every year, and I would put socks in my you know, little bathing suit and parade around like Miss America with a towel for my cape and a tinfoil crown. And I wanted to be beautiful, and honestly, I have the statistics in my book. I have all these kind of pages of facts in between the chapters, and one is about Miss America and Miss USA beauty pageants, and like by 1999, almost all of so many beauty queens, you know, entrants, and Miss USA particularly, the majority of them had breast implants. I mean, it's a big deal. Breasts were important, and yeah, when I was little, you know, I was just dying to get a bra. And then suddenly when I was big enough to get a bra, it was Vietnam and women's lib. And if you had to not wear a bra to be against the war, you know, and so I was like, okay, now my breasts are political. Like, I want to wear a bra, but I don't want boys to get killed. And, you know, it was, it's like breasts meant everything. And then they weren't big enough. And the boy I liked, you know, my best friend had big boobs, and I was sure he was going to ask her to the dance, and he asked me, and I was like, why me? She has the big boobs, you know, and it was, you know, boobs were really important. The cheerleaders had big boobs, and
yeah,
I wanted bigger ones, and then when I had babies, I had giant ones, and then it was great, but then there were the babies, and then it was completely flat, and you had to pretend you didn't have boobs to get a job, you know, wear suit coats and those shirts with floppy bows, like ties, and it's like, so boobs were definitely, I always wondered what it would be like to have really nice, not like giant boobs, because here's the thing, if you have giant boobs, then you're a bimbo, and I didn't want to be a bimbo. I mean, we definitely judge women by how big or small their boobs are, so it's definitely been, I did an interview the other day, and someone said, well, of course you got breast cancer, because you're all about boobs, and I was like, no,
really?
I had no, yeah, exactly.
Wow.
I had no idea that my life had any through line about boobs until I actually sat down and thought about it that night when I was like, why do I care so much? You know, what are my boobs? Why do I want to fix my boobs? Are they broken? What does that mean?
Yeah.
You know, when I have a body part that I think is broken, how can that, what does that mean?
Yeah. Did your mom at all, I mean, I'm not saying you should blame her, but what was her attitude about boobs? Did she influence you at all?
No, I mean, my mom, it was beautiful. And she also got a PhD while I was in elementary school. And she worked for Planned Parenthood. I mean, my mom was totally smart and pretty. She was the whole package. And yet my dad cheated on her, you know, with girlfriends with big boobs, married several women with big boobs and who weren't not as smart as my mom. And my mom, she, you know, was raised in the 50s and it was really important to be beautiful, and being smart didn't help her keep her husband. And, you know, that was part of a woman's identity then. And she was really affected by the culture as well. And she still to this day feels that beauty is really important. And I, you know, she gives both my daughters like a little allowance each month. You know, my daughters are now in their late 20s to get their hair done or, you know, or their nails or something. Cause how we present to the world is how we are judged from the world. And I hate that. And yet I acknowledge it as a truth.
Yeah.
And so she felt like when I was, I had my marriage was when I got divorced, I had really saggy little boobs. My nipples pointed down like Eeyore, you know, the depressed donkey in Winnie the Pooh. It was like, oh. I wore a camisole all the time. I never took it off. And she, when she saw me, she just thought, you know, men like boobs and you're going to be lonely because nobody wants to look at that. And it was because she never nursed, you know, and her mother also was gorgeous and very well built. And my mom still had great boobs. And I, it was like, she just wanted me to have every advantage. And as a woman, you know, it's being smart isn't the whole advantage. I mean, you have to be pretty too. And it used to be you were smart or pretty, but and nowadays I feel, you know, the new generation who is having more opportunity, they have to be smart and pretty. And even this whole body positivity movement, which is fabulous, but I think it's bigger in the media than it is in real life, and it's going to take a long time for real life to catch up.
Because biologically,
I mean, men look at women and it's biological imperative. You want someone who can give you children, whether you're consciously aware of that or not. That's the biology of it. And a woman with curvy figure, big hips, can have babies, boobs, you know, make milk. So part of it is biology. You can't fight that. So what I want is for people to just be aware of it so that we stop being hard on ourselves and we stop judging other people and we can all, you know, when I feel like when we know better, we do better.
Right.
And that's my message, I guess.
That makes sense. And so now it's being turned into a TV series?
Yeah. Well, it's, the pilot's being written now. And I'm executive producer, so I'll have some say on who plays Leslie. But Salma Hayek is just this genius producer. I really feel like she and Dolly Parton have the biggest boob power in the world. You know, they use their boobs for good because people love their boobs and they use their power because they are brilliant women. And Salma Hayek is a genius. And, I mean, we see her for her movies, but she produced Frida. She was executive producer of Ugly Betty. She has this huge Spanish language hit called Menarca. I mean, she has so many projects and she's such a humanitarian and we don't hear this part of it because it's kind of unusual. You know, she doesn't get acknowledged of it. I mean, I think she got an Emmy for something and then didn't work for a while. After she had produced or directed something, it's like people like the boob part. But she's really, really smart. And she told me that she's obsessed with my book. And she has a first look deal at HBO Max. And they are making it into a TV series. And it's going to be a comedy. And yet it's going to be about the reality of living in a woman's body. And after talking to her, I completely trust her. And it won't be exactly the same as the book. And it also will take a long time, especially with this pandemic, until it happens. So I really want people to read the book. There's tons more in the book, and there's 16 pages of pictures and six pages of footnotes and a lot of funny stories that won't be in the book. The book will start present day, and then we'll have some flashbacks. And, you know, hopefully they'll cover everything in many seasons. But also, I have two daughters. I might leave a daughter and a son. You know, they're going to do what's best to make it a really great show.
Okay.
So I'm thrilled and really excited about that.
Yeah. So when do you think the pilot's going to be finished? Do they have an idea yet? Or?
Right now it's just being written.
Okay.
And then I get to read it and the other producers get to read it and it goes back and forth for a while until it gets approved and then it has to be greenlit for the series. So it's a long process.
Yeah.
You know, just like the book, I mean, it's been 5 years since I started this book. And it won't take that long for me to show. I'm guessing like a year, but yeah. Till anybody, you know, till we can really look forward to it. So read the book, then you'll get a preview for sure.
Yeah, they're a lot faster now making these series. And I think because of the pandemic, they got really fast. They think they're churning out things now.
Well, they had a lot in the pipeline, so they're trying to get stuff out.
Right.
But it's definitely difficult to shoot and to cast. And just the project, the process of actually making TV takes a long time because there's so many people and so many steps involved and so much money involved. And she's, you know, going to be very careful and make sure that this is a good show that can last a long time. So they're not going to rush it out.
Oh, no, I didn't mean rush in a bad way. I just meant they've gotten much more efficient because they had a time crunch. And like just from some of the interviews I've been on lately, I've been hearing about that. Yesterday, actually, HBO Max had a whole thing for the TCA online. And one of the shows, they were saying normally they have a whole week to shoot an episode, and they did this 2 days per episode, which is really fast.
Oh, yes. Yeah. And, well, that's just because of getting everyone in the room healthy. Mm-hmm. You know, they only have so much time. So that is a really true thing, yeah.
Yeah, and some of these movies they do on TV, like Lifetime and everything, they've got them so fast now. They've got it down to a fine art. So,
well, that would be great.
Yeah.
That would be great. I'm looking forward to seeing, who they get to play me.
I'll bet. Yeah, that would be exciting. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And they're using my name, too, which is... Cool. I was thinking last night, do I want to switch the name? And then again, you know, it is my story, so it'll be fictionalized. It's not really me. But, yeah, I don't know. We'll see. Fingers crossed. I hope happens for me. I just right now I really want people to the book comes out in 2 weeks. I don't know when you're gonna publish this, but I definitely want people to pre-order. I think the success of the book also will help the success of the TV show.
Mm-hmm.
And for me it will help me, you know, keep writing.
Right.
So there's just so much in the book that I'm not sure what all will be in the TV show, but I know it'll be good.
So right now you're just working on helping out with the TV show? You haven't started writing another book or thinking about another book? Or?
Well, I'm waiting until I see the pilot script, and then I'll be working with the TV show. But I'm definitely working on another book. I mean, right now I'm trying to do my best to help people get the message of a boob's life and understand to love your boobs and all that. So I'll be busy with this book for a while. But I definitely am working on another book, which has some similar themes, but it's a novel. And hopefully I'll finish that and it'll take a few months. I'm a very careful writer. I'm, you know, a very craft oriented writer.
Mm-hmm.
So it needs to be really good for me to show it to anyone. So it'll be a little bit, but I'm definitely I'm on the third draft of it. So.
Oh, okay. Great. Cool.
Yeah.
Well, I will look forward to getting the galley so I can read your book.
Yes, definitely. I'll mail it to you for sure.
Cool. Thanks so much. I really appreciate taking the call today.
Sure. And Suzanne, if you have any questions, feel free to text me or email me, or whatever, because I'm always here. And between marketing and writing, I am always looking for ways to procrastinate. So I'm happy to engage and answer emails or texts. Hey,
that's what Facebook is for.
Exactly. That's one thing. But yeah, I'll take all of it because writing is hard.
Yeah.
So it's nice to have breaks.
I know. I have to write a lot for my site, and I'm just like, can I do something else? Let me watch another show first.
Exactly. It's research. It's research.
Exactly. All right. Talk to you later. Have a good one.
Thank you so much, Suzanne.
All right. Bye-bye. Bye-bye.